Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'll begin reading in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Most commentaries agree that this parable was Jesus' first parable, at least his first recorded parable. But the version I read began with a small mistranslation. Where most English translations have a sower went out to sow, a literal Greek translation would be the sower went out to sow. And you ask, well, why would it be the sower? You can almost picture Jesus as he's giving this parable, looking up and seeing someone sowing the ground and saying, the sower went out to sow. And I think he was probably pointing to someone that his listeners could see as he was giving this parable. What sort of field would Jesus' listeners have been looking at? Well, in Palestine, the fields were in long, narrow strips of land, and the ground between the strips became a pathway for people to walk. It was a right-of-way, and very soon it became as hard as pavement as the feet of countless passerbys walked along that pathway between the fields. If the seed fell there, there was absolutely no chance it would ever penetrate into the earth. It was like concrete. What about the stony ground in Palestine? Well, it was not ground just filled with stones. The stony ground was a thin layer of topsoil over a hard limestone base of rock. And on that ground, the seed would germinate very quickly because the heat would warm up that rock and it would cause the seed to germinate quickly because of the heat. But there was no depth of the earth underneath. And when that new plant sent down its roots for nourishment and for water, it would just hit that rock. And then the sun that had caused it to grow would wither. It would then cause it to wither and die under the heat of the sun. The thorny ground, well, that was very deceptive. When the sower was sowing, the ground would look good enough, but it hid a problem. It was like a garden today that's been turned over. It looks good, but it's hiding a problem. And anyone who's turned over a garden knows what that problem is. It's got weeds in there just waiting to grow. And those weeds can grow with a speed and a strength that will outpace all but the best of the good seed. And as the weeds and the seeds both grow, the weeds will win, and they will throttle the life out of that young plant as it's trying to grow. And then there was the good ground. That ground was deep, it was clean, it was soft. The seed could gain an entry, it could find nourishment, it could grow unchecked, and in the good ground it would bring forth an abundant harvest. Well, what does this parable mean? Well, Jesus tells us what it means in verses 18 through 23. And when we read those verses, what we see is that the different kinds of soil represent different kinds of hearers. Well, who are the hearers described and warned in this parable? Well, first, there's the hearer with the shut mind. This is the only case here in which there is absolutely no growth of that seed. The hearer and the word have come into contact for a brief moment. But that's all. The word could find no entrance into that person. This is a terrible and graphic picture of a soul that has lost its power of receiving any deep impression of spiritual things. A soul in which nothing can readily sink in below the surface. It's the soul of which Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. There are many things that can shut a person's mind. Pride can shut a person's mind, as can fear, as can prejudice. For many, their immorality has shut their mind because they will refuse to hear any message that condemns them. The deepest ignorance is the ignorance that will not know, and sadly, many today have that attitude when it comes to the gospel of Christ, don't they? They are like the seed that has fallen by the wayside. Second, there's the hearer with the mind like the shallow ground. He is the man who fails to think things out, fails to think things through. Some people are at the mercy of every new craze that comes along, aren't they? They take up a thing very quickly and then they just as quickly drop it. They begin some new task or some new hobby with enthusiasm, but then the thing becomes difficult and they abandon it. Or the enthusiasm wanes and they lay that hobby aside. Some people's lives are littered with things they began but never finished. And sadly, a man can be like that with the Word of God. When he hears it, he may be swept off his feet with an emotional reaction. But the Christian life is so much more than just emotion, isn't it? We are told our love for God must be with all of our heart and with all of our mind. And that love for God will have consequences, won't it? And one of those consequences is certain persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. And for those for whom religion is just a hobby, when that persecution comes, they will quickly depart. Their sudden enthusiasm will just as quickly become a dying fire. They are like the seed on the shallow, stony ground. Third, there's the hearer who has so many interests in this life that the most important things just get crowded out. Never in man's history have we had so many distractions and so many diversions. Our lives are crowded, they are noisy, and they are fast. Unless we take time to be holy, we will not be holy. We will be too busy to pray, too busy to study God's Word, too busy to do the work that God has given us to do. Why? Because our heart inevitably follows our treasure. Matthew 6, 21. And if we value our diversions more than God, then our diversions will choke the Word and we will become unfruitful. If Jesus is on the top shelf of our closet just waiting to be taken out on Sunday, just as our golf clubs may be taken out on Saturday, then we are deceiving ourselves, James 1:22. Man cannot serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. Such a person is like the seed on the stony ground. But fourth, there's the man who is like the good ground. Like the good ground, his mind is open. He's willing to learn. He's prepared to hear. He's not too proud or too busy to listen. He has thought the thing out. He knows what it means. He's prepared to accept it. He translates his hearing into action. He produces the good fruit of the good seed. The real hearer is the man who listens, who understands, and who obeys. That's the good ground. Well, certainly this parable has a message for those who hear the Word of God. But you know what? It also has a message for those who proclaim the Word of God. Not only was it meant to say something to the listening crowds, it was meant to say something to those who preach to the listening crowds. It is so easy today for those who sow the seed to become discouraged, isn't it? We proclaim the great invitation of Christ from this pulpit at every service, as we should and as we must, but we don't get a response at every service, do we? And we proclaim the word over the internet, and yet we don't hear much from those who are listening and reading it on the internet. We look at the evil and the noise that surrounds us, and we wonder, are we making a difference? Why should we keep casting the seed if we can't see much growing from that seed? The lesson of this parable for proclaimers of the Word of God is clear, and it's a message of encouragement. Encouragement. The harvest is sure. Of the seed that we cast, some of it will bring forth abundant fruit. That's a promise in this parable. Yes, some may fall by the wayside and be snatched away by birds. Yes, some will fall on the shallow ground and never come to maturity. Yes, some seed will fall among the thorns and be choked to death. But in spite of all that, the harvest will come. No farmer expects every single seed that he sows to bring forth fruit. He knows quite well that some will be blown away by the wind, and some will fall in places where it can never grow. But that does not stop him from sowing the seed, does it? Nor does it make him give up hope in the harvest, does it? The farmer sows in confidence that if some of the seed is lost, even so, the harvest will surely come. When someone sows the seed of the Word of God, he does not know what his words may accomplish, perhaps many years down the road, or what effect that a seed will have. No preacher or teacher ever knows that. It is our task to sow the seed and then leave the increase to God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. When a man sows the seed, he must not look for quick results. There is never any haste in nature's growth, is there? It takes a long, long time before that acorn turns into an oak tree. And it may take a long, long time before that seed of the word germinates in the heart of a man. But often a word dropped into a person's heart is like, perhaps even in his childhood, may lie dormant for years, and yet it will come to the surface perhaps one day and maybe save that person from some great temptation, or maybe save that person's soul from death if he will obey the word that he recalls from his childhood and from the Word of God. We live in an age that looks for quick results, don't we? But in sowing of the seed, we must sow in patience and we must sow in hope. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. But for the word of God to accomplish its great task, the people of God must sow it. And that is our great commission, isn't it? To sow the word of God. That is our great task. Men cannot produce the seed for themselves any more than the earth can produce a seed for itself and of itself. The seed must be sown, and that seed is the Word of God. The soil may be the most fertile and productive soil ever known, but it will bear no fruit unless the seed is sown. Only by first hearing the gospel can one obey the gospel, which Romans 1:16 tells us is the power of God unto salvation. Only by hearing the word of God can one receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, James 1:21. That seed has been cast tonight. Jesus is asking you to obey his gospel, to hear it as you have just done, to believe it, to repent, to confess, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to live faithfully before God. The only question that remains is this: what kind of hearer are you? Please come while we stand and while we sing.